you know, when I was a kid, I always looked forward to a white Christmas. How many looked forward to a white Christmas? Now, being in Tennessee, how many of us got what we wanted every year? Yeah, once or twice. It wasn't very often. But you think about what happens when that snow comes down. You get up that next morning, and it's all white, isn't it? It's pretty. And sound travels further. Animals look better. Everything looks better in snow, at least till you get out and drive. But at least it does look better in snow. We always wanted a white Christmas. But like we said, we didn't always get it. What we're going to talk about this December is a white Christmas that God guarantees you can have every single year and every single day, actually, where every day is like Christmas Day. That's what we're going to talk about. And people say, well, now, wait a minute. You didn't preach an Advent sermon today. Yes, I am. Why are we singing about sin? We're singing about sin because we need to understand that Christmas is not just about snow. It's not just about presents. It's not just about sledding down nice steep hills. It's not about snowball fights. What Christmas is about is Jesus Christ coming to earth to deal with a problem that we could not deal with ourselves. So the question that we're going to get is, why did God come? Why did Jesus Christ have to be born in Bethlehem, in a stable, right when He was, in the fullness of time, at exactly the right moment for God's timing? Why did He have to come? And we're going to see the answer to that is one word. The reason that Jesus Christ had to come was sin. Jesus Christ had to pay a sin debt that you and I could not pay. And here's the thing about hope. This is the first Sunday of Advent. We would have no hope of ever paying that sin debt. We had no ability to do it. God's Word told us in the Old Testament that the payment for sin had to be a spotless offering, had to be an unblemished offering, one that could not have any kind of defect at all. So why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we pay our own sin debt? God said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us sinned, and we all had therefore a blemish on us. Our offering would not have been acceptable to God. It would have been blemished. But Jesus Christ, the one perfect person ever to have walked the face of this earth, offered Himself as a spotless, unblemished lamb to pay the sin debt of each and every one of us and to give us hope that we can spend eternity with Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope for us going to heaven. There is no hope of us having eternal life. There is no hope of us spending eternity with God. There is no hope, period. And if you look at it really, when you get down to it, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. You know, I can put my hope in something until it fails me. I can put my hope in something until it falls through. I can put my hope in something until I get it. Then what do I do? The message of the gospel, the message of Christmas, the message of everything that God gave us in this Bible is that human beings need a redeemer. We needed a redeemer from the moment Adam and Eve fell because of sin. We needed a redeemer to deal with the rebellion that we have against Jesus Christ and God. We needed a redeemer to bring us back into fellowship with God. And the message is, we're preparing for that Savior. In the Gospels, when Jesus came and was born, that Savior arrived on earth. We see 33 years later, He was hung on a cross, but He did not stay on that cross. He came down off the cross, He went into the grave, He came out of the grave. And now that Savior is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us day and night, every minute. And you know what He's also doing? He is preparing a place for us because He promises us that where I am, there you will be also. I will come back for you. And church, that is the rapture. That is the next event on God's timetable when God comes and takes His church up. We go to heaven with Him And on earth, there's a tribulation period for 7 years. And at the end of that 7 year period, we come back with him. He sets up his millennial reign where things are so much better than they are now. And eventually he will establish a new heaven and a new earth where no sin exists, no tears exist, no sorrow exists, no pain exists, no crime exists, no sin exists. So the hope that we have is all based upon Jesus Christ, but we have to have hope because of this sin problem. And God diagnosed our sin problem a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. He was talking to the Jews, but I want you to understand that this message comes to America. It comes to any country in the world. And it comes to each and every one of us. Listen to what he indicted the Jewish nation for in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. You have forsaken the Lord. You have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. You have turned your back on God. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like an indictment of our culture today? It does. This is what sin does. This sin problem that we have changes our lives. It puts a permanent stain on us. But for Jesus Christ. You know, we sang that song, Jesus Paid It All. And just think about what those words say. Sin had left a crimson stain. And we're going to talk about that in our primary verse today. But sin left a stain on our lives, one that we could not get out by ourselves. We couldn't do it. So when God indicts sinful people, he does it to give us a direction to Jesus Christ. He does it so that we all recognize that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. This is a problem that every single person has, and the question is, are we going to recognize it? Are we going to recognize it, and are we going to deal with it like Jesus wants us to deal with it? Or are we going to try to sweep it under the rug, ignore it, or say, eh, it's okay, everybody's doing it. Or, it's okay, I'm better than Fred down the street. How do we deal with it? Because God gives us one way and one way only to deal with it. So later in chapter 1, stand if you will, we'll read verse 18. This is going to be our theme verse for today. I want you to understand what God says. He's indicted the nation of Israel, but he's getting ready to give a solution to sin in the Old Testament in verse 18. So here it is, Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You can be seated. This is the reason Jesus came. Jesus came to fulfill this promise that God made to Israel and he makes to us. And I want you to understand what this promise is. This promise is, I will cleanse your sin. Not, I will give you a way to work out your sin problem. Not, I will give you a way to fix your sin problem. It is, I will wash it white as snow. And so you got to remember something about the society to which this was written. Back in the old days, in Isaiah's time, when they got a garment and they made it scarlet, they did it through this dye, and the dye was permanent. You could not get the dye out. So if you had red cloth, if you actually were fortunate enough to have red cloth or purple cloth, that was even fancier, you could not change the color. It was impossible to change that color. So when Isaiah's contemporaries heard this, God had indicted them, and he said, your sin is like that scarlet material that's permanent, and it's never going to come out unless I clean it. They thought, that's impossible. Their mind said, it is impossible for me to get this scarlet stain out of my clothing. And that is absolutely true. It is impossible for me to get the crimson stain of sin out of my life in my own power. It is impossible for me to get the scarlet stain of sin out of my life in my own power. But with God, all things are possible. Recognize that verse from the Christmas story? Gabriel says, just kind of nonchalantly, when he's telling Mary that, you know, you're going to have a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, with God, nothing is impossible. So this mindset was, it's impossible, it's impossible, it's impossible. Gabriel says, nothing is impossible with God. So though your sins be like scarlet, God says, they shall be white as snow. He flips the script. He changes the entire narrative that these people had of thinking this was going to be a permanent red stain, a permanent stain on their soul that they wanted to get rid of, but they couldn't. Nobody can work enough to get rid of sin. Nobody can give enough to get rid of sin. Nobody can memorize enough scripture to get rid of sin. Nobody can come to church enough days to get rid of sin. There is only one way to get rid of sin, and that is to let Jesus Christ do it for you. Now I want you to think about what God says here. Let's look at the next screen. I want you to focus on this one word. Come now, let us reason together. Understand what God's doing here. He is talking to us about basically an argument. He's saying, you come to me with all of your sin. Your hands are filthy red with it. You come to me with all of your sins. I'm going to clean it. Well, but you don't know how bad my sin is. Well, yes, I do. I'm God. You don't know what I've done. Yes, I do. You may be sitting here thinking, well, have I done something so bad that God would not forgive me? The answer to that question is no. He says, though your sin be like scarlet, let's come, let's talk about this. You lay all your sin out before me. Here's the key. You confess, you say, I agree with you, God. This was sin. I rebelled against you. I did things you didn't want me to do. I did things against your word. I'm going to lay it all out there for you. I'm not going to try to sweep it under the rug. I'm not going to downplay it. In fact, we can't downplay it because He knows everything we've done. We go to confess sins. There are probably sins in our lives we've never confessed because we don't know them. We don't recognize them. The Holy Spirit does. He says, you lay it all out for me. You tell me what you've done. You tell me your sins, and I'll deal with them. Do you see the miracle in that? You tell me your sins, I'll deal with them. Well, what if my sin is fill in the blank? It doesn't matter what your sin is. God can forgive any sin. There's no limitation on this. He didn't say, come, let's reason together unless you did something really bad, or come, let's reason together unless you were a murderer, or come, let's reason together unless you were a gossiper, or come, let's reason together unless you're a liar. He said, come, let's reason together. You lay your sins out for me, and I'm giving you an invitation to be washed clean and made white as snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's His invitation. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't shrink from it. And we don't need to try to diminish the extent of our sin either. We need to appreciate the depth of God's love. Think about the worst thing that you've done. Jesus Christ never did that. Yet He was nailed to that tree because of that worst thing you have ever done. And all the other things that were bad that weren't up to that level. All those other little things that were sins that you don't think of. Here was God's promise. How am I going to do this? He told Isaiah, I'm going to send a child into the world through a virgin. I'm going to send him and he will bring peace. He will bring comfort. He will bring hope. He will bring life. He will bring joy. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. I'm going to send this man into the world. He's going to live the life of a sorrowful servant. He's not going to live the life of a king. He's not going to come. If you look at the website, we talk about today how it is that Jesus came. He didn't come and present himself to Caesar and say, "Hey, I'm the king of the Jews. Bow down." Who did he come to? First, appeared to the glory of God appeared to the shepherds, right? God's announcements come to the shepherds who are the fringe of society. I mean, they're the outcasts. They're the thieves. People don't like them. They stink. Literally, it's what they thought. But that's the first person that God announces this to. And then what do those shepherds do? Those outcasts, those people that are not socially accepted, what do? They run and they tell people. And everybody marveled at the things that the shepherds told them. This is how God changes things. This is how God flips that narrative. We think, oh, my stain is too dark. I've sinned too much. I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, you haven't. I've done something so bad, God can't forgive me anymore. He can forgive you of anything if you give it to Jesus Christ. And He flips that narrative. He takes the part that we feel, He uses that feeling we have that we've sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's true. He uses that to drive us to Jesus Christ. He uses that to give us hope that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be saved. You know, we talked about hope being, you know, is it crossing your fingers or not? No, it's not crossing your fingers. This is the hope. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that, what's the next word? Whosoever believes in Him will not perish but will have everlasting life. If you are a person and you have your faith in Him, you are a whosoever. Welcome to the family. This is what Jesus is saying. He came to redeem mankind. He came to offer hope for mankind. But the point that we have to remember, just like in that second song that we sang, our sin was great. God says, let's reason. Let's talk about the enormity of your sin. Let's talk about what your sin cost me. What did our sin cost Him? It cost Him His Son. It cost Him the life of Jesus Christ nailed to that cross. He said, let's talk about the enormity of this sin. It's not something to laugh at. It's not something to gloss over. It's something we need to remember as we think about a white Christmas, as we think about a pure white world, as we think about the love of Jesus Christ. On Christmas Eve, we're going to have a candlelight service and there will be a Christ candle in the middle of this. It's a white, white, white candle. That's what Jesus brought. He was the Lamb without blemish. He was the Lamb without spot. He had no defects, no sin in His life, but God made Him sin for us. It was the only way that God could deal with the sin problem. But in order for Jesus to pay our sin debt, He had to really die, which means He had to really live. He had to live as a human being. He had to live as a fully human, fully divine God. So that day, that evening in Bethlehem, a child was born. I see we've got a more accurate scene of the stable coming up. You know, it was a cave, essentially, hollowed out rock. It wasn't very pretty. Sin's not very pretty either. So think about white Christmas and snow, think about sin. Sin's black. Sin's dirty. Sin's red. It's crimson. It's all over. But God can make your life as white as that snow. When He looks at you after you accept Jesus Christ, He says, I will remember your sin no more. I will put your sin as far as the east is from the west. I'm not going to remember it. He says, when I look at you, I see my Son. I see my Son's righteousness. I see Jesus Christ's righteousness. I see you dressed in His robes. So your sins, they are like scarlet now. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, they will be clean and they will be as white as snow. That's the hope that we have. That's the reason for this season. That is the reason that Jesus Christ had to come to earth. He had to be born because he had to die. Understand this, there is a shadow of a cross hanging over that manger scene. You know, when the couple of years later, when the wise men bring the gifts, what do they bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bring to a baby a burial spice. They bring a spice that was used to embalm people. Why would they do that? Because the Old Testament had promised us that this Messiah would come, but that he would be cut off. He would be killed, not for himself, not because of anything he did, but that he would be killed for us. That our transgressions would be put on him. Our sins and our iniquity would be put on him so that we could be as white as snow. So this is the season to be praying for that white Christmas. If you want a truly white Christmas, a truly white Christmas every single day where you can stand up to God and you say, God, I thank you that you have cleansed my sin. I thank you for forgiveness. Here's what I did today. Here's what I did in the past 10 minutes. I give it to you and I thank you for Jesus Christ. Then your Christmas day will be white as snow. 100% guaranteed. You won't even have to check the weather. But sin is the reason that Jesus had to come. So as you go through your lives this month, as we talk about, we're going to talk about the incarnation next week. We're going to talk about God being with us. We're going to talk about God bringing love. We're going to talk about redemption. All of these themes come into the Christmas season. But they start with the fact that Jesus came to deal with a problem. And I pray you recognize that problem. You don't try to avoid that problem. Today's world says, oh, you know, it's okay if everybody does it. It's not so bad. That book's old. You know, that book's outdated. That book is the Word of God. That book is the eternal Word of God that has power. If you guys were here last Sunday night, it has all kinds of power. And God says, this is what I've given you because I want you to understand why my Son came. I want you to appreciate why he had to come and die. And the more you know about the situation that you're dealing with, the more you understand that your life was scarlet before you met Jesus Christ, the more you can worship him this season. The more you can give thanks to God for sending him, and the more appreciative you will be because of the enormity of the gap he bridged. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So he gave us one way to be redeemed. He gave us one way to deal with this scarlet problem that we have, with this crimson problem that we have. And just like the song said, Jesus paid it all. All we do is we put our faith in him. If you've not done that today, Christmas is the best time of the world to do it. You know, you now know this problem that everybody has. And don't think you're unique. Every single person has this sin problem. My sin is different than yours, maybe. But we all have a sin problem. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And God says, I loved you so much, I gave you this one way out so that you could not possibly mess it up. All you got to do is put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for hope. We thank you for bringing to our mind the problem that we do have, this sin problem. Father, I pray that we understand it more and more because it will help us to understand more and more how gracious, how awesome, how loving you were by sending your Son to die for us. Father, you gave us a perfect gift, a perfect spotless gift that all we have to do is reach out and take it. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today who has never taken that gift, who's never said, God, I'm a sinner, I confess, my hands are scarlet, but I want them washed, that they would do so right here and now. Father, for those of us that are Christians, I pray that you would just remind us each and every day that we need to seek your face. We need to be thankful for what you've done in our lives. We need to be thankful that you are just and forgiving. And Father, we just need to look to Jesus for everything, through everything, and in everything. Father, have your way during this time of invitation, and it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. get into that song. I wish it could keep going. Just think about what it says. Just as I am, with all my sin, with all my hands filthy red, black, whatever color they may be, that's the way He takes you. We don't clean our lives up first. We come to Him the way we are. He cleanses. Always remember that. Don't think you got to get perfect before you become a child of God. You just got to get to be a child of God, and He'll take care of the rest. So, just as I am. Come back tonight. We're going to look at the Incarnation, part one. We'll be doing the Incarnation, God with us, next Sunday. Remember all the announcements. Practice right after service is over. As you're leaving, make sure you've grabbed one of the Advent devotionals. If you have not already done that, we want you guys to read that and really get into preparing your heart for God. And go ahead. I know Christmas Eve is a busy night. 6 o'clock, we've got the Christmas Eve candlelight service. Going to be special this year, special every year. But make plans to attend. Bring all your family, your guests, all those people. It'll be less than an hour, and you can get back and finish eating the brownies, I promise. Or you can bring them here, and we'll eat them for you, either one. So, all right, anybody got anything else? All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You once again for today. We thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for His sacrifice. We just thank You that the Lord